It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24-7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Rolling along, hour number two, Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel, and the franchise, the voice of the Longhorns, the MVP of this show, the Hall of Famer.
The absentee member for the first hour of the show.
Fresh off of a Zoom call dealing with a particular Hall of Fame, Craig Way is back with us. Craig,
I was just down the hall from you guys, and I'm sitting there going, okay, are we going to be done here?
You missed Feral Hog Talk.
I know, that really makes me unhappy. You know how much I love Feral Hog Talk.
We got some cleanup on the Specs text line to get to from that. But before we do that, I do want to get into this, because I'm always fascinated by this. Snoop and I talked about it in the first hour. Snoop has never been to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. I remember going many times as a kid. And I always thought, man, oh, maybe it was just kind of a spare building and I just didn't know any better. But lately, the last time I was there, Charlie Strong went in a speaking tour 7 years ago. Seems like.
How about that?
Some days it seems like 7 days ago. Some days it seems like 7 decades ago. But he had a speaking tour and the final stop was at the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. That's the last time I was in that building, and they've done a lot to that place, and it is.
You should see it since.
Yeah.
It's something else. And for folks who said, what the deal is, I'm on the nominating committee to put people on the ballot for the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. I've served on it for over 10 years. From the greater Austin area, Kirk Bowles is on it. From the Austin American States, Cedric Golden's on it. As well from the Austin American Statesman, there are esteemed sports writers and broadcasters from all across the state of Texas. Virtually every market in the state of Texas is represented. Lubbock, El Paso, Abilene, Houston, Golden Triangle, East Texas, Rio Grande Valley, San Antonio. And we have a group of about 20 of us. We get together every year. It's usually the first Tuesday in June this time because of the holiday. It was the first Wednesday. Normally, I drive up to Waco, and we have about it takes about 4 hours to do it because there's the usual pleasantries that go on and lunch is served and all this. But as we know, we've not lived in normal times the last couple of years. So the whole thing got tabled last year like so many other things did. And this year it was decided well in advance to do it by Zoom. And I was glad because I can still be here for the second hour of the program. But we knew it was going to be a process of wading back through the class. The Texas Sports Hall of Fame, much like the one that I'm in, the Texas High School Football Hall of Fame, which is a separate part in and of itself, independent of the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, but connected to it, is backlogged and going to induct two classes in its next induction, which will come in August. So it'll be for class of 2020 and class of 2021. So we've been playing catch up, and we were working on the class of 2022. Now, what this works is we don't elect who's going in the hall. Right. We come together based on nominations we've gotten across the entire state of Texas and some holdover ballots and veterans, and we get together and we come up with a list of like 20. It then goes out to over, I think, in the neighborhood of 1,000 people who actually vote. It's kind of like almost like the Heisman Trophy. So many people have a vote on this, and then those votes decide who goes in the Hall of Fame. We don't decide. We just kind of put together a list based on the nominations we're getting and the ones that we toss out. So I can tell you, I don't even know how it's going to go. I can tell you that some of the holdovers would include Colt McCoy, whom I nominated a few years ago. He'll be back on the ballot.
He'll be in at some point.
Yeah, I think so. And there's a lot. It's been well represented. University of Texas and Greater Austin. They're doing a great job to catch up with native Texans and those who played in Texas from the Negro Leagues that are going there.
Awesome.
There was a fabulous nomination for today for Billy Nix, the former great coach at Prairie View, as well, and then other ones who have really achieved. So that's what that process is all about, and it's usually about a 4-hour process. Today they were just about wrapped up, and I said, "Would it be all right if I ease out now so I can get in for the second hour?" And they're like, "Go it," because they're on the home stretch there. But I was there for the meat and potatoes of it.
There's a couple candidates I want to discuss, Greg. You brought up Colt, and Colt's going to get in at some point.
I think he will.
But there's a couple candidates. You and I, we talked about it on the air, but this is a timely place to talk about it. One guy is Jamaal Charles. Jamal's retired now, had a great NFL career. I think
his name was on the ballot in 19.
Okay,
I believe, and so that's the I'm pretty sure. So his name could come up again.
Okay, because he, I believe, either held or maybe still does hold the NFL career record for yards per play from scrimmage, or it was the yards per carry. There's one of those NFL records that it was Jim Brown's record, and Jamaal Charles had it, and I think retired with it.
Yeah.
So, and you look at the all-pro career he had, helped Texas win a national championship, the whole deal. He's a guy that, in my opinion, should be in at some point.
Sure.
And then, good friend of the show, still helps you call Longhorn baseball games. I don't think people realize the kind of resume Keith Moreland has.
And fortunately, a few years ago, I nominated him years ago. Keith would say years ago, because he's on the quote-unquote veterans ballot.
Yeah.
And what the veterans ballot is anyone whose playing career ended in the last 20 years. So, beyond 20 years ago.
Right.
So, he's been on the veterans ballot. It's been close, real close. I have a feeling he'll be back on the veteran. I can tell you right now who's going to go in. His name will be on the ballot this year, and it was everybody's like, oh, yeah, and his name will definitely be on the ballot, and I'm sure he's going to be voted in, and that's Scott Drew with what he did in coaching the national championship team at Baylor and building that program up from the ground up, what's been called the greatest reclamation project in college basketball history. So I'd say there's probably going to be that. So,
right.
Anyway, so there you are.
So those are the two that I wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
Texas Sports Hall of Fame. I've only been to one banquet, Craig. Mm-hmm. The banquet was at 2013, the year Mac got it. Or no, I guess it was 12. It was 12.
12.
I misspeak all the time because Coach Royal was there. That might have been the last public event Coach Royal attended, if not.
Certainly of that size.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mac got in that year. I forget who all was in that. G.A. Moore, I think, was in that part of that class. Lovie Smith, I think.
Yeah.
In that year. But you go to the banquet, and, you know, for me, as a Cowboys fan who grew up on Cowboys lore, like, you walk through the reception area, and there's chatting up Leroy Jordan. And
yes.
Drew Pearson and Walt Garrison always manages to hold court. Those things. So if you ever get a chance to go, it's a really cool deal to go.
There's lots of – it's not just plaques and names in there. There's a lot of really cool interactive stuff in there. As Halls of Fame have figured out over the course of the years – the best way to stay current and relevant and to have people is to make it grow with the times and to have it be interactive.
Yeah.
And the Texas Sports Hall of Fame is one of those very interactive places. So, yeah, and it's centrally located, obviously, being in Waco.
CB brings up something, and I there have been years, Craig, I don't know how they do it for the media, where I've voted on the National Football Foundation. I've gotten a College Football Hall of Fame ballot. Some years I get it, some years I don't.
Mm-hmm.
CB asked, when is Colt McCoy going to be eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame? I think you have to be, is it when you're 10 years removed
from
your playing career?
I think that's correct.
But the College Football Hall of Fame has a weird deal where I don't think they can elect a member, a player from the same school. I think it's maybe in back-to-back years. I don't think you can have a player from the same school, which is why it took Ricky a while to get in. That's why there's typically a backlog at some schools. You're like, wow, why is such and such guy not in? There's weird rules with the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and now Colt checks the boxes on things like must have been, I think, consensus All-American.
Yeah,
so I think that's... And he checks those boxes.
Right.
It's a matter of time on that. I mean, Vince Young just went in.
Right, yeah.
So he just went in.
Yeah.
So
there's a backlog on that stuff. But yeah, Colt will be in at some point. But I think once you're 10 years removed from your collegiate playing career, that's when you're eligible. We got Longhorn football to talk at the bottom of the hour.
What was the cleanup you wanted to get to?
Well, we got a few things to clean up. The main thing is Feral Hog Talk. So you saw the video.
Yes.
You were tagged in it. We got tagged in it together on Twitter. Feral hogs
just cruising,
doing hood rat things in Leander, just cruising through the suburb with John and Danny and the Leanderthals.
Yep.
So I asked the question, Craig, can you, I know in the country, and if you're a private landowner,
can't just open up fire on them what you're asking.
people can set up hog traps. That's what they do because they're an invasive species, they're a nuisance, et cetera, et cetera. My question is if you live in the subdivision in Leander, can you set up a hog trap in your backyard? And we got conflicting information on that.
Some of the hogs come in my backyard and getting shot.
Well, that's one way to take care of it.
Hey, only if it's a home invasion, okay?
So Casey Stutter and Colonel Flowers, and somebody said they should know the rules on hogs. Okay. I want to get a feral hog expert in here at some point this summer, Craig. Because this is a problem in Central Texas we're dealing with, and now it's in the suburbs.
Okay.
And, you know, anytime anything gets into the suburbs, that's when it becomes a problem that needs to be dealt with.
Someone says, set up the trap. Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
See, down in the thriving metropolis of Buda, I don't have a feral hog problem. We have the coyote is the most, that's the most invasive species.
Yeah.
That we deal with.
It looks like you got into some card collection conversation.
We talked about the Babe Ruth card that went for $6 million. So I opened up the Athletic story on this card, just to let you know a little bit more about it. So it says 1914 Baltimore News pre-rookie card. It sold for $6 million. The card was acquired by an anonymous buyer and will be offered, somebody's going to split it up, and they're treating like these high-end cards like stocks where you can buy a share into the card. So it is what it is, I guess, on that front. So the previous record for the highest card, and this is like the hobby is just blowing up. I had a really good conversation. I was mentioning this with Walt at Card Traders of Austin yesterday, just how prices are just skyrocketing for everything right now. Even... Yes, don't go to your local card shop and take your bulk of like late 80s and early 90s cards. There is some stuff in there that has some value, but for the most part, there's a reason why they call that era the junk wax era.
Wow.
The previous record was $5.2 million. I think we covered that for a 1952 Mickey Mantle Topps card and a LeBron James card that also went for that same price. This card's going to remain on display in the Babe Ruth Museum in Baltimore, that's on my bucket list to get to because I'm a big Babe Ruth mark. The 1914 Baltimore News issue is one of the rarest collectibles with fewer than 10 known in existence. This was the first acquisition of the card since 2013. So that's how rare this is. There are fewer than 10 known to exist, which that makes it rarer than kind of the hallmark for that was the T206 Honus Wagner card, which I think there are fewer of... I want to say the number's like 50, fewer than 50 in existence.
Are those in existence?
Yeah, but this Ruth card, there are fewer than 10. And I don't know, Craig, look at that. That for a 1914 card, that doesn't
pretty
look
good.
That doesn't look too bad at all.
You can see why it might have fetched $6 mil.
Yeah. So then, you know, we got started on a little card talk.
I got you. Somebody else with regard to the feral hog weighing in said the city brought... small cage, but would take days to come get the one or two hogs that got caught while the rest of the hogs kept digging up my yard. You can't shoot them with gunfire in the city limits. That's what I was referring to.
Right.
But there's no rules against shooting them with arrows.
Okay.
So I took them out one by one with a crossbow from a second story window. They run off and die elsewhere, and then the city comes right away to get the carcass.
Okay.
Because they go and they die off.
So
somewhere.
I guess if you have a crossbow handy, then...
Hands, you know, wipe your hands of it, you know. Somebody says you can definitely trap them legally, but you can't shoot them in the city limits.
Right, that's all about discharging a firearm in city limits, yeah.
Yeah, and Beaver Lance Jason said, Jeff, during the dog days of summer, and when Craig is on vacation, have a week called Weird Wide World of Sports in which you guys discuss odd and rare sports in which we rarely watch or participate in. That'll come for me, just to give you the down-the-road thing, it'll be the last week in July, first week in August when I'm out. Okay. It'll be different. I'm pushing it back to because you've got some vacation time coming.
Mine is coming at the end of at the very beginning of July.
Right. And then we have Big 12 football media days and then the high school coaching, school coaching convention. So I'm going to go through all of that before doing my annual deal.
I don't want to get out in front of my skis, but Light the Tower is going to have a presence at the THSCA convention this year.
Like it. I like it.
Snoop, we should just do a show from down there. Like, get Snoop down there. You've never been to coaching school, have you, Snoop?
It's an eye-opening experience there. I used to say it was the world's largest convocation of bike shorts and heat balm. It's no longer the bike shorts.
The attire has changed. Fewer skull cans as the years have gone on.
Yep. Yep.
Boy, skull cans.
It's true. Now, it is true that probably the golf courses and gentlemen's clubs still do landmark business during the deal. That's still in vogue.
That's to be expected.
Some of that. Yeah. But I will say this. It is incredibly impressive with the transformation that the organization and in specific coaching school has undergone in the last decade with D.W. Rutledge heading it up there with Joe Martin and Alex Joe Martin and Glenn West, and their staff is incredibly impressive. The things they do and the things they've added in the coaching academy and the panel discussion and all that other things that they do, it's why it's the world's largest membership of its kind of coaching body, coach association body. Yep. They have 13,000-14,000 members.
I like that they've beefed it up with all the stuff in the exhibit hall and speakers, because they kind of had to once the All-Star games went away.
Yep, and that was unfortunate. And by the way, they didn't make money on those All-Star games. Right. In fact, the Coach Association, they operated those at a loss, but they considered it worthy of doing it to highlight some of the best and brightest. It was a cross-section. It was never intended to be the truest collection of stars from the North against the truest collection of stars from the South, the best players, because then you would overload with 6A and 5A players and be done with it. Yeah. No. There were rules in place for each classification having the same equal representation, same thing in regions, and only one per school.
Yep.
Because you think about it, you could in its heyday, you could put three or four Allen Eagles on there. You could put three or four Lake Travis Cavaliers or Westlake Chapman. No more than one per school. But it was a great cross-section. It was fun watching Rhett Bomar throw a touchdown pass to Jamaica Rector of Celeste.
Wow, that's
watching
a name I haven't thought about in a while.
How about that? A 5A, at the time, what would now be 6A, a 5A quarterback throwing a touchdown pass to a 1A wide receiver. I called that game at Rice Stadium in Houston. So it was a lot of fun. It was the second oldest All-Star game of its kind, or the second oldest All-Star game, period, in the country, second only to the Major League Baseball All-Star game. Older than the Pro Bowl, older than any other pro sports All-Star game or any other college All-Star game, 80 of them. They had 80. I did the 80th one in the Alamo Dome, and that was the last one. Yeah. And the reason it shut down, it wasn't because of the Coach Association. They would have kept it going. The NCAA. Somebody decided one time that it would be an unfair recruiting advantage for somebody if coaches were in the same town, college coaches, like the guest lecturers, were in the same town where a high school All-Star game was going on in late July, where the kids who are going to go play college football,
right,
they've already signed their letters. And in fact, some of them weren't even at the games. They had to report early. And now you got year-round, obviously, going with early enrollment and things. But they still had plenty to do it. But the NCAA stepped in and said, you can't do it. So that killed it off.
It was kind of, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Craig, but there was a give and take, because what I remember from that was it sounded like a deal where if you have the All-Star games, you can't have the coaches come lecture. So they had to pick one or the other.
One or the other, and they had to have the lecturers, obviously. Yeah. That's why it's called coaching. coaching school. Right. You go there to do it. Somebody said, "Hey, didn't did Rhett Bomar get a free car for throwing touchdown?" No, no. All of his free cars came from Big Red Sports and Imports once he got to Norman. Just, you know, matter of point. So anyway, so there's that. Golf Lingo wanting to know that Walt has rare tobacco cards right now from 06 to 12.
Yeah, yeah. That's you can, you know, your go to your local card shops, man. Yeah. If you just want to relive the hobby, and you know, they've got affordable stuff in there, high end stuff, all of it.
Somebody else said, "Jeff, you don't want to trap a feral hog. They cry out and attract all their buddies."
Like I said, I don't have a feral hog problem down, at least right now I don't, in my neck of the woods in Buda, Texas, USA. But apparently they're an issue in Leander. So, Craig, that's not too far from you. So,
yeah.
I don't know if you need to look into hog traps or what.
I've seen a lot of deer in my neighborhood, the occasional raccoon or possum. I've not yet seen
a feral hog. I'm just saying, if Linda happens to be listening right now and she wants to just do a Google search on what a hog trap would cost, that might not be a terrible idea.
Yeah. Somebody said Dan Neal's on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot that was just released today. Yeah,
Dan's been on it for a few years now.
Yeah, exactly.
This was going back. So
those are expensive.
Our fun fact, Craig, our fun fact of the day for the representing the number of days we have remaining. So today's 94.
Yep.
Not a lot of great Longhorn players have worn 94, so I talk about just that weird nutso 94 season.
Strangest Texas Longhorn football season I've ever been around. It was 1994.
It was wild. And I was wondering, I know A&M couldn't claim the Southwest Conference Championship because they won probation. And I was wondering, you know, when they moved to the SEC and just started putting retroactive.
Did they put 94 up there? I hope they did.
This is the wall at Kyle Field. It's not up there.
Yeah. Because they weren't a conference champion. There was a five-way tie. Bucky Gobbelt tells the story that he refuses to wear that ring.
Well, yeah.
He won't wear the ring from that. And then maybe he got it lost or something. I don't know. But it was five-way tie for the conference title. Texas, Texas Tech, Baylor, Rice,
and TCU.
Yeah. Five-way tie. Texas Tech represented the league in the Cotton Bowl because they were the school with the farthest distance between the last time they had appeared, the most years. They were the least recent because they'd only appeared in it one other time, like 1935 or 36.
I went back and watched that USC game on YouTube.
I was there in the press box for that. That was not pleasant. Keyshawn Johnson had a landmark game.
Yeah.
Something like 55-16.
Wow.
It was not good.
Yeah, watching Tony Boselli push around the Red Raiders for four quarters.
Yeah. Zebby Lethridge struggling.
That was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Just nasty.
Yeah. So that was 94, but it was a bizarre, weird year for Texas. Like you said, that we talked about it a few days ago about Pittsburgh with Curtis Martin running up and down the field. And Texas won that game on a Phil Dawson field goal as a freshman, won that game. Rashawn Salaam ran all over Texas, 317 yards, I believe it was.
That was that same Colorado game? Yeah, that was the Colorado game where Tony Brackens accidentally plowed over John Makovic.
Yeah, by the way, that came up today in my in the Zoom. I was going to plow over that.
When Tony Brackens, if he goes into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, are they going to have the Tech kicker do the induction?
Tony Rogers from 95. Yeah, that was from 95 when he plowed over him. There was the Black Sunday loss to Rice.
About that, where like 90 guys were suspended and it was played in a hurricane and the whole deal.
Yep, there was that. And yet there was the Stoney Clark stop of the goal line to beat Oklahoma. With James Allen getting stopped at the goal line by Stoney.
As a youngster watching on TV, Craig, that was the minute that I knew what that rivalry was. That was when I finally first grasped what that rivalry was all about.
So, yeah, there was that. There was, if memory serves, an ugly loss in Fort Worth to TCU. And I'm going off the top of my head here.
I think they beat TCU.
Well, you may be right about that one. You may be right about that. Pull that up and see.
The ugly loss to Tech in Lubbock.
Oh, yeah, 33-9. Yeah, that was the last time they had a day game for several years in that series. It was out there. There had been night games out there, but that was an ugly loss there. Beat Baylor on Thanksgiving morning. because A&M was on probation and couldn't be on television. Beat Baylor on Thanksgiving morning, 10 a.m. kickoff in Waco. On Thanksgiving.
Nothing says Thanksgiving morning like being at Floyd Casey Stadium, does it?
How about that? And then they played A&M, and after John McAvich said he would not kick off to Leland McElroy, he kicked off to Leland McElroy. He brought it all the way back for a touchdown. They won that. But anyway, five-way tie for the conference title. Texas goes to the Sun Bowl and has that classic game with North Carolina, coached by Mack Brown. Priest Holmes, 161 rushing yards or 166, a great game. And Texas wins that game, and they finish 8-4 that year. So it was a roller coaster ride virtually the entire Forrest Gump box of chocolates. You didn't know what football team you were going to get on a given week. You didn't, and it was bizarre.
How often do you ever get to claim a conference championship with a 4-3 record in conference?
How about that? So it was, it was a weird, weird year. Maybe that encapsulates 1994 or the number 94.
And because we are 94 days until kickoff of the 2021 season, the first season of the Steve Sarkisian era.
Mm. All right. And by the way, I could point out, Bill Schoening and I go out to El Paso to get ready to do that Sun Bowl. The Longhorn basketball team was also that week to play in the Sun Bowl tournament out there, so it worked out really well. We did two basketball games and the football game out there. But the people who were running the Sun Bowl at the time, they were really interested in telling you where the next big party was, or where you could go for this event or this soiree or this party, but try to get your credential or parking pass. You really struggled to get that until like day before the game. You barely got that in time, but they could tell you where the next big party was. They were big on the entertainment out there. All right, coming up, we'll get to some other. We have another edition of the Notebook coming up when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Light the Tower here on the Horn. Craig and Jim and Snoop alongside as well. And we've got some other topics that we'll get to before we wrap up. But before we get to those other topics, it's time for another edition of the Notebook.
Longhorn Notebook. Brought to Jeff Howe's Longhorn
like
Notebook. Brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead
do it like
Doors.
That.
Go to cpdoors.com.
Is brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. And check them out online at cpdoors.com.
You good back there, Snoop?
I am.
We didn't tell you, Craig. Snoop.
Now what?
Boredom overtook Snoop.
Oh, boy. That's always a risky proposition.
It did.
He decided to put some money down on the NBA playoffs.
I went like 4 months. I broke last night. I was too bored. I found one site because I basically like scourged the internet to block myself from every site.
So who did you wager on?
It was more for players. I wagered that Jason Tatum would underperform.
You didn't wager that Damian Lillard would overperform?
I actually did.
And
I hit that one, too. Yeah. I hit every bet I placed.
Okay. You did?
I did.
Okay, well, good then.
Well, that's not good because it's just going to suck me back in. Because today, I've been thinking about is like, ooh, the game's tonight. I'm like, oh.
Can you walk away from it now?
I don't know.
We'll see. The high school sports show of record here on the Horn. Yeah. So high school coaches, if you're listening, not just your state qualifiers on the weekends, but if you have a nice 7-on-7 league going on during the week, any summer volleyball or summer basketball leagues, just get with Snoop at FLXATX on Twitter and Instagram. Let him know what's going on so he's not tempted to go down that road that he hates going down and he'll regret it.
In other words, keep him busy.
Yes. Snoop needs to stay busy during the summer.
Wouldn't your mom have said to you, idle hands are the devil's workshop by now?
Well, that's why she had me memorize Bible verses.
That's what I'm just saying.
In the summer.
You know? Okay. All right.
Memorize, recite.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Okay.
Need to get you into a hobby.
So. Yeah. Meanwhile, we'll get into the Notebook.
Craig, here's something we don't say, haven't said in this market very often in the month of June. Let's talk Texas basketball.
There you go.
So, a couple of Texas basketball notes. One, let's talk about the roster Texas is building. All the newcomers All six of them, they are on campus right now. Mm-hmm. Jalen Tyson, the high school signee who signed with Chris Beard at Texas Tech.
Devin Askew.
Timmy Allen was the last to arrive. Christian Bishop, Dylan DeSue. Who am I missing?
Did you see the did you see the Chris Beard tweet about the arm wrestling thing?
Yeah, they were waiting for Timmy Allen to arrive.
Yeah, the Timmy Allen arm wrestle deal. Yeah.
Oh, Gavin Perryman is also the son of Brandy Perryman, who right now is not on scholarship, but that his status could change at some point.
Sure,
don't be surprised if it changes, because Texas is going to have room to get to 13 scholarships, because Jace Febris is a super senior, won't count. And Jericho Sims is a super senior.
Right.
If he were to return, that's a bonus scholarship, because he's not going to count against your scholarship cap. So Chris Beard's got some wiggle room. They're not done building this roster. They are looking at a couple of different things, and I wouldn't be surprised, Craig, if you got up to maybe the start of the fall semester and they're still looking at tweaking some things. So Chris Beard continuing to build this roster. Obviously, the returnees, Courtney Ramey's on campus. Andrew Jones is on campus. Jace Febris is back. We know Brock Cunningham is back. So it's all starting to come together. Now that process of taking these 10 talented pieces and forming a basketball team, that whole process now starts for Chris Beard and that coaching staff. And we had some schedule news yesterday, Craig, and I've gotten some of this confirmed, and we'll get a little bit into the weeds here on Texas basketball schedules. So there's the Gonzaga series. Now, the Gonzaga series was supposed to start this past season, but because of COVID, the game in Austin was not canceled. It was pushed back. Thankfully for Texas, maybe a blessing in disguise, it's getting pushed back to not this coming season, but the following season. So Texas will go to Spokane at some point in the 21-22 season.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 22-23 season, i.e. the first season in the Moody Center, that's when Gonzaga's coming to Austin. So I wouldn't expect it to be the game where you break in the building. But at some point, kind of your marquee non-conference game that year should be Mark Few and the Zags coming to town
first
year at Moody.
And this season and going to Spokane, that game would be in the kennel, not in the big arena.
That I don't know for sure.
Okay.
The same thing with the news yesterday, which I was able to confirm with the – since it's Texas is the road team, it will be the Big East – Big 12 battle, right. Texas taking on St. John's. They've gone to Providence.
Seton Hall, isn't it?
Well, they went to Providence two years ago. They played Providence in this deal before.
Right.
Last year, the game was obviously the home game against Villanova. This year, they are going to Seton Hall.
Right.
Not 100% sure where that game's going to be, because as I was reminded yesterday, Seton Hall's got about five different venues that they
can
play
see
basketball
that's
in.
Got Newark written all over it. Prudential Center.
That's my thinking on that, Greg, but that hasn't been made official.
It's a good arena.
Yeah.
Good arena. Texas has played in it before. Played Tennessee and I think New Mexico State. They played in it right after it opened, when the Nets were still a tenant there. And the Devils play their home games there in the NHL. It's a good arena. It's a big one.
Because the Izod Center and Meadowlands Arena, that is no more, right? Didn't they?
Right. I think if they didn't blow it up, they should. But Seton Hall's played some games in the Prudential Center in some recent years. And I would say, if I were guessing, I would say it'd probably be there.
Right. So there's kind of two of your not home games. I would not expect, and now this isn't to say it's going to happen, I would not expect Texas to have a big, huge, marquee non-conference opponent this year. Not to say that they won't, but I think...
At home.
I think it's going to be Gonzaga on the road, and then we'll see what building that game is played in, and then the game at Seton Hall.
Okay.
Trying to get everything together with the new coach and scheduling. It's kind of hectic right now and getting all that together. But going forward, I think that first – we already know Gonzaga's coming to town for the first year of the Moody Center. Chris Beard, I think, really wants to blow it out and have a really nice home schedule going forward. And maybe you just wait and just do it huge the first year in Moody. But he has talked about it when he was on with us on a Zoom call a few weeks ago now. he does want to do like neutral site games like Houston, mm-hmm. Dallas, and you've got NBA arenas in the state that you can go play in. You've got various venues. Dickey's Arena in Fort Worth, where Texas has already played a basketball
great
game.
Arena.
Played A&M.
And by the way, it's a first round NCAA tournament site next year.
Yeah. So you've got plenty of neutral sites where you can play different opponents and work some things out. You've got your preseason tournaments. You've also got the Big 12 SEC Challenge, the Big 12 Big East Battle. So, you know, from that standpoint, you're going to have reputable non-conference opponents. I don't think, and for the Big 12 SEC Challenge, Craig, I'm trying to remember, would that be road or home this year?
That would, well.
Technically, I guess it would be a home game because last year
Kentucky didn't
have the road. Exactly.
Yeah. They played Seton Hall at then Reliant Stadium back in the day. It was now NRG as part of a triple header. I think A&M in the Big 12 at the time played LSU, and then there was another one as well. So there was a triple header in there, but Texas played Seton Hall there once.
So we'll see who the non-conference opponent is from the SEC, but that could take care of your – wouldn't expect it to be Texas A&M. I've talked to enough A&M people over the years to feel like that if they're going to do it, it's not going to be in that challenge format. It's going to be like the deal we saw at – you know, was that the – I guess that was the second college basketball game played at the Dickey's Arena? That for, was it
yes,
first,
because TCU
weekends?
Had played USC two nights prior on the Friday night, and then Texas and Texas A&M played on Sunday.
First weekend, second game. That's a little Texas basketball talk in early summer.
Yeah.
Just to round it out.
Like it.
So just keep an eye on that as far as schedule goes. Seton Hall and Gonzaga are going to be on the road, but Texas will host, in all likelihood, a to-be-determined SEC opponent. Don't throw your eggs in one basket or do wishful thinking that it's going to be Texas A&M. It'll, in all likelihood, be somebody else.
Okay. All right. We'll be back, and we'll get ready to wrap up things here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Got just a few minutes to go here and a couple other items to redirect and get done here on the program.
Yes, Texter, I did not, when I was talking about Jericho Sims, I did not say boner scholarship. I said bonus scholarship.
Now, there might be some guys who might get pretty excited about the thought of him returning, but let's pump the brakes on that, okay?
And especially in light of Snoop's comment on Frank Thomas in the first hour, no, that's not where my mind was talking about a Jericho Sims scholarship.
So. Okay, all right.
Now, you missed Snoop's hot take on Frank Thomas, too, Craig. You want to reset that one, Snoop?
No, I was just saying, you know, because he's the nutrigenics guy, and my favorite line is to, and fellas, she'll notice a difference, too.
Okay. Yeah.
I was just going to leave that for you, Craig.
I'm sure he's a ladies man.
I'll put that on the tee for you, Craig. Do whatever you want.
I'm just going to walk away from it what I'm going to do, you know?
That's fine.
What's the point in bringing that up?
Smack it down the freeway, smack it down the fairway, take a mulligan, do what you will.
We're getting this from a guy who's a self-proclaimed simp.
Okay? Oh, my gosh.
You're self-proclaimed.
I did, yes.
You're the one who said you were a simp.
I'm trying to unsimp.
For those who don't know, we've said simp is someone who dotes on a female or someone with the hopes of possibly hooking up who has basically no shot.
So Snoop, like I took my vaccination card to Office Max or Office Depot. I forget which one it is.
They're the same.
Take it in there. So they laminated my vaccination card. You think they'll
laminated the copy?
The copy. Yeah. They make a copy of the card, laminate it, give it to me. You think they'll laminate your SIMP card so you can?
Oh, like that.
Keep it protected.
Wow.
SIMP card. All right. And you don't even need to get a copy of that. They'll just laminate the regular full-on SIMP card for that.
I kid, Snoop. I just.
It's okay.
It's all right.
I deserve it.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you need to get out of the SIMP zone. That might keep you from betting on the NBA playoffs.
The SIMP zone.
I'm just trying to help you out, Snoop. I'm trying to keep you from... I want you to watch the NBA playoffs and enjoy it, not feel like you're actively vested in the outcomes.
CB went full-on Beavis and Buddy. And Jeff said boner. That was that. Someone said Frank Thomas brings Big Hurt to a new level. All right. Sophomore English class is done for the day.
It's one of my all-time favorite ball players right there, Frank Thomas.
Yeah.
Used to play Big Herd Baseball back on the PlayStation.
And you know
back
what?
In the PS1.
Does a really,
did you ever play that, Snoop?
Yeah, I did.
Big Herd Baseball? Mm-hmm.
Does a really fine job, not only on the Fox telecast in the studios, but also for those of us who have the Major League Baseball package. He just said package. The Major League Baseball viewing package. He's on the White Sox telecast in the studio and does a really good job there as well.
Yeah.
I like Frank Thomas's work on television. He's good. Okay. Tomorrow, we're going to direct a little closer in toward the start of the regionals. The NCAA regional begins on Friday at 1 o'clock with Texas and Southern playing at 1 o'clock.
Availability press or something tomorrow?
Yeah, this is a weird, strange, brave new world. I was about to tell you some other things about that when we were at the last break with some of the stuff going on. But, yes, you are correct. There should be some sort of a... media Zoom availability because the NCAA, I think, is going to stick with what they did with basketball and go Zoom for all the press conferences all the way through the regionals, the super regionals, and the College World Series in Omaha. I had somebody who works with the Big 12 Conference tell me during the tournament last week, when I asked him, said, hey, if Texas makes it to the College World Series, I might see you in Omaha. And he said, nope. He said, you might see me on a Zoom. But apparently it's going to pretty much be done that way all the way through the rest of this athletic and academic school year as they close it out there.
I'll set the stage for something I want to get into tomorrow. So the College Football Hall of Fame ballot is out.
Yeah.
You know whose name appears on this ballot?
Well, we said Dan Neal.
Reggie Bush is on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot.
Interesting.
I wonder how that plays out.
Yeah, all right. We'll have some more.
I want to get on this ballot tomorrow because there are some freaking ballers.
Marshawn Lynch is on it, right? I think Marshawn Lynch is on that ballot.
Yes, yes, he is.
Yeah. And he's on that ballot just so he won't get fined.
No.
Anyway. All right. Thanks so much to our man behind the glass, Snoop Daniel, our producer, and for my co-host, Jeff Howell. I'm Craig Way. We thank you for joining us. Stay tuned. Up next, we'll be Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey, and we'll visit with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on Light the Tower.